Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
What's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. Right now, you're just getting me. Charlie's going to be here in the next segment, along with some other guests. We're going to be talking about capitalism. We're going to be talking about some news of the day items, what's going on with Ukraine, what's going on with climate change. I think we're all about to be done, from what I can tell. We'll be talking about capitalism a little bit with the one and only Steve Forbes. We'll also be having Mr. Spike Cohen come on the show and a couple other interviews as well. We've got some movie recap and reviews from Mission Impossible and Sound of Freedom, and then our take on some of the speeches that we saw while we were at Freedom Fest. So if this is your first time listening, and by the way, my name is Nate Thurston. Charlie and I, the co-host, have been friends for about 20 years now, and we have a podcast together that's called Good Morning Liberty, which you can find on your favorite podcast app, or you can type in BernieLies.com on your browser. We're happy to be joining you and hanging out with you tonight. I want to tell you that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction and has implemented really cool features to ensure it's undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% attacks by their chain locks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering a Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And a big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month. To promote Dash on the air, visit Dash.org to learn about Dash.org. All right, y'all. Let's get into a few of the topics of the day. The first thing I want to talk about is actually going to be Ukraine and this whole grain fiasco that we might be about to get ourselves into. Now, you might remember when the Ukraine war first started, when Russia first invaded, we had some issues there because it turns out we get a lot of grain from Ukraine. Prices spiked up quite a bit. This also led to some inflation around the world. I know that the Biden administration likes to blame the inflation on Putin and then likes to take credit for the fact that the inflation rate has come down. Prices are still going up, by the way. The inflation rate has come down. Prices are increasing slower than they were beforehand, but they are still increasing. Just in case I need to correct that for anyone, Hakeem Jeffries, I don't know if anyone else needs any corrections out there. But this could be an issue. This could lead to a little bit more inflation. We could be getting our second wave of the inflation. You know, in the 70s, this came in three really major waves. So we could just be through the first one. I'm not just making that prediction right now or anything, but just getting one wave and then everything's fine. I think that's going to be pretty tough, especially after the economy-destroying actions that took place in 2020 and in 2021. To think that we're not going to go through a major recession after that would be laughable, in my opinion, to think that we can somehow squeak by, print all of that money, have all of this inflation, and not have any problems, more problems, on the back end. Now, from CNN, here they say Vladimir Putin is reminding the world that he has the capacity to apply pain far beyond the torment he's inflicting on Ukraine. Russia's suspension of a deal allowing the export of Ukrainian grain from a region fabled as the world's breadbasket threatens to cause severe food shortages in Africa and send prices spiraling in supermarkets in the developed world. In the U.S., it represents a risk, a political risk, for Joseph Biden. who is embarking on his reelection campaign. Is he, though? Is he embarking on his reelection campaign, or is he just nibbling on small children around the world? I don't know which one it is. And Joe Biden can hardly afford a rebound of the high inflation that hounded U.S. consumers at its peak last year. 9.1% was the peak, although we all know it was much higher than that. Some estimates at that time were putting it up around 18, about double. So what have we actually gone up throughout Biden's tenure and, yes, throughout some of Trump's? What have we actually lost in the value of our currency? The official numbers are around the 17% as the inflation that we've had. The unofficial numbers, if you use the old way of calculating inflation, well, that's going to put it easily up in the 20s of percents. We'll just use a smaller one. That sounds way better. That's less depressing, I guess. I highlighted something in this article about the Ukraine grain and the fact that this could cause severe food shortages in Africa. I want people to remember when they are talking about the war in Ukraine and how important it is that we protect Ukraine's perfect democracy, their uncorruptible, perfect democratic country that they have over there in Ukraine, that millions of people around the world could die because of this. Now, does that make it Ukraine's fault? No, it's Russia are the ones who invaded. I get it. But there are trade-offs here. And the poor, starving people in Africa would like a word with you in your Ukraine flag and your bio, okay, or in your username on Twitter. Maybe y'all should talk about it. And you should look that person in the eye and tell them that it's worth them starving to death so you can feel good about the Ukraine flag in your profile name. I bet that's not what you would tell them. Maybe that would change the way you think about things a little bit. I don't know. All right. In other news, a court has put an order blocking the Biden administration from pressing for social media content moderation on hold. Okay. Once again, so we heard about this. We heard about this case. I believe it was Missouri versus Biden. And they were told that they could no longer talk to these companies. They had to put that on hold while this case was going through. It was too dangerous for the First Amendment. Well, now the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit has put a temporary hold on that order that was blocking federal officials from pressuring social media companies to suppress certain accounts, posts, and different types of information. Quote, a temporary administrative stay is granted until further orders of the court. States the Fifth Circuit Court's order. It deferred ruling on the Biden administration's motion for a stay pending appeal to the oral argument merits panel, which receives this case. The court is also expediting the case to the next available oral argument slot. So they do want this to happen as soon as possible. Didn't elaborate on its reasoning for issuing the temporary stay. Although we know people are probably pulling the strings in the background. Okay, we don't know that. We can speculate that that's what's going on. I want to talk about what kind of First Amendment principles are at stake here. I know that they didn't sign a law, so Congress made no law that was abridging our freedom of speech. But the government itself was still doing so, and they were still doing it with an implied threat of retaliation if you did not do what they wanted. In a previous case, Judge Richard Posner, which was a ruling in Backpage.com versus Dart, wrote that a public official who threatens to employ coercive state power to stifle protective speech violates a plaintiff's First Amendment rights, regardless of whether the threatened punishment comes in the form of the use or misuse of the defendant's direct regulatory or decision-making authority, or in some less direct form. We know that they've already made direct threats. They pulled Zuckerberg and the other leaders out there in front of Congress. We got the moments with AOC grilling Zuckerberg. They're all talking about breaking up their companies, using antitrust, taking away Section 230, which would essentially destroy their businesses. And if it was people from the left talking about that, it was because they didn't censor enough speech, because they allowed this fake thing of Russian disinformation to sway the 2016 election. We literally had hearings on things that were based on lies. In fact, we probably have a lot of hearings on things that are based on lies. I think we know that. Okay, so we know that they make these either explicit or implicit threats that they're going to hurt the companies if they don't do a better job policing information. And then they come to them later on and they say, oh, here's things that we have deemed to find dangerous. You see, because these companies, they don't want to get in trouble. So they probably said, hey, why don't you let us know what you think we should do? And so the government lets them know what they think they should do. And the corporations do it because the government are the ones with the gun. They are the ones that can shut them down. You might fault the people who run these companies for doing so. You might disagree with them ideologically, like a lot of us do. But at the end of the day, they're being threatened by the government. And that's the main reason that they did this. Some other reasons include advertising dollars, things like this. In the lower court's ruling, Judge Terry Doughty banned all Department of Justice and FBI employees, plus many federal public health officials from, quote, meeting with social media companies for the purpose of urging, encouraging, pressuring, or inducing in any manner the removal, deletion, suppression, or reduction of content, and specifically flagging content or posts on social media platforms and or forwarding such to social media companies, urging, encouraging, pressuring, or inducing in any manner for removal, deletion, suppression, or reduction of the content containing protected free speech. I think that's a pretty good ruling. You know who else should think that's a pretty good ruling? Democrats. Democrats should think that this is a pretty good ruling. You know why? Because what if Donald Trump wins re-election? He was just the president not that long ago. What if he wins election again? Is that considered a re-election? I don't know. I don't know what the rules are on that. What if he won again? What if DeSantis were the president? What if someone who's even worse than those people is the president in the 2028 elections? Okay, they need to ask themselves if they want a Trump White House doing the same thing. Do you want RFK deciding what speech can be censored? And that's the problem with most political ideologies. They don't account for what would happen when your guy is no longer in power. Talked to a lot of people last week while we were at Freedom Fest that had all the right ways to do things as long as people that agreed with them stayed in control of the agencies and of those power structures. Libertarians have that same problem sometimes, but at least our plans usually include reducing the power structures those other guys will use in the future. And yes, they're going to build them back up, and then eventually you have to take them back down, but you're not always going to be in control. The only way you would be able to is if you had an actual change in the population, which is what most of us should be working towards anyway, because that is how you truly change things. That is how you truly change the society. Listen, politicians are for sale. And the real thing that they're for sale on is your vote, because if they don't get enough votes, then they won't be in office anymore. And so, yeah, people can give them money. That's fine. But if no one votes for them, then what are they going to do? How did they get your vote? Oh, by promising you that they're going to do things that you like. Do they actually have principles? Some of them, a few of them, a lot of them are just doing what they can to get elected. And so as Milton Friedman would say, you don't need to try to put the right people in office, okay? You need to make it so the incentive structure were so that it were politically profitable for the wrong people to do the right thing. How is it politically profitable for the wrong people to do the right thing? Because the people have changed. Because the people want liberty. And the people want freedom. And the people can see through all of the BS that the politicians are spinning on a daily basis. And if the politicians don't get out there and do what they're supposed to do, which is next to nothing, by the way, next to nothing, their main job at this point is taking away some of their own powers, which is very difficult. But if they don't get out there and do that, then they're not going to stay in business anymore. They're going to lose their jobs. And then we, the people, are going to put someone else in there who's actually going to do those things. That's a very tall order, because that means that instead of focusing on getting the right person elected, it means that we are going to have to focus on changing ourselves and our friends and the people around us, our family, so that the people change. And it doesn't matter who's running for office. The people are going to, those people in power are going to do what we want them to do, or they'll lose their job. It's all about incentives. I want to go through a couple other things that are happening in the news right now. Before we get on to, once again, we got an interview with Steve Forbes. We'll be talking a lot about capitalism. We'll maybe talk about some evil billionaires, too, at some point in time. We're going to talk with Spike Cohen, who was the candidate, the vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party in the last election cycle. And maybe we'll have a couple other interviews that we're going to have tonight as well. I'll let you know when they're coming up. I was looking at the New York Times today to see what was going on, see what we could be worried about, see what's going to destroy us. Once again, it's climate change. Climate change is taking the cake right now. We got the world sweltering in record-breaking heat. We got 18 days of extreme heat in Phoenix with no end in sight. You might as well move right now. It's never going to stop. Even China is worried about their severe heat, or at least John Kerry is worried about severe heat in China. And, of course, you can look at the forecast for the heat index across the United States. By the way, I'm talking, and I've got a video going along with me, or I've got slides, elements going along with me. And if you want to watch that, once again, we got a daily podcast called Good Morning Liberty, and you can find on your favorite podcast app. You can go to BernieLies.com on your browser and bring that up. And if you want to watch this current video of me going through things, it's going to be on the YouTube channel. I love how we're talking a whole lot about heat indexes these days, which is something we've been measuring for like roughly 40 years. And the calculations that go into the heat index, I know it has a lot to do with humidity, but there's other ways that they find the heat index number, which is how it affects you. They make assumptions about the surface area of people's bodies and how the heat and the humidity are affecting how much they are sweating, which means you're making other assumptions about the salt and moisture makeup in their bodies. Okay, I get it. We say the heat index, but now we're starting to use the heat index quite a bit, and it kind of seems like it's because it's a higher number, and that's what people want to talk about. Speaking of things that people want to talk about, Ilhan Omar, God, you got to love community notes here on Twitter. Thank you, Elon, for pushing this community notes thing. It's so good. She says, Ilhan Omar says, the Earth just broke the record for the hottest day in 120,000 years. In fact, we broke it on three separate days. National climate emergency now. She says national climate emergency now. I saw Nina Turner talking about a climate emergency. We got to declare a climate emergency. Isn't it weird how you predict that things are going to happen and then they get close and close to happening, and then you have actual people in elected office in the U.S. House of Representatives calling for a climate emergency? What are we going to do with a climate emergency? We're going to spend a bunch of money. We're probably going to put some restrictions on people, maybe even some travel restrictions. And I swear to the good Lord that someday they're going to be controlling your thermostats. I know that that sounds crazy right now, but maybe keep yourself a nice analog thermostat. Something not connected to the internet, okay? Something not connected to the internet. Keep it on hand and know how to install it. If you like your smart thermostat, you can keep your smart thermostat. But if you like your indoor temperature, I'm not sure you'll be able to keep your indoor temperature. So I think we should all keep one, just, you know, keep one out in the garage in a drawer for when they decide to control the inside temperature of your home. Because it's coming. I know they already do it in some places, but they'll be doing it by force eventually. So she says this, that Earth just broke the record for the hottest day in 120,000 years. And of course, in my head, I think, well, Ilhan, we have only been accurately measuring temperatures since around 1880. Now, that is what pops up in my mind immediately. So I'll show you this one specific note that's on here. It says the source for this claim appears to be the University of Maine Climate Reanalyzer, which has added a recent notice making it clear that it should not be taken as official observation records. If we scroll down, which I didn't take the whole thing here, they also mentioned that it is widely known by scientists that our accurate temperature measurements go back to 1880. The other things that they do is they just make estimates. They just estimate what the temperature was. They don't know because they didn't have a Galdern thermometer out there and someone writing down what the temperature was. They will look at the rocks or they'll look at the dirt and they'll look at the makeup of it and they'll say, well, it probably took around this much for this much of this compound to be in this thing right there. And so we think it's around this temperature and they write it down in something and then it becomes fact to some people. But if they're off by half a degree, then the record's not broken anymore, is it? And so that's why you can't take those things seriously. Some people will just use them so they can push national climate emergencies. They love doing this. Yesterday, they're even changing the names of things that already existed and adding the word climate change in it, like underground climate change is affecting the city of Chicago. That was an article from CNN. And essentially this phenomenon where all the buildings and the pavement and all of those, all the things connected to the ground and the subway and all that are changing the ground temperature and by effect shrinking and expanding the ground and it could be damaging some of the buildings. This whole putting tons of buildings into the ground and then out on top of them by 100 floors, this is kind of a new experiment as far as Earth goes. And if the ground is reacting to it, because we've essentially put a bunch of heat rods down on the ground and things are changing, are we just going to call that underground climate change? Because we think that if we change our carbon emissions, that's not going to happen anymore. You know how much things would need to change for the heat that is being transferred from the building down into the ground or down into the subway tube would need to change? Newsflash. The UN panel on climate change is not projecting that anything that we are talking about doing is going to be enough to change what's happening in Chicago. All right. From what I can tell, almost nothing that anyone is trying to do is going to change what's happening in Chicago. Okay, folks, when we come back, Charlie is going to be here for some great conversations about capitalism, about billionaires. You know what? I think I'm going to do that one. I'm going to do that one by myself. We'll have the Steve Forbes interview. Then we'll talk to Spike Cohen. And I want to talk about The Sound of Freedom and Mission Impossible and which one you should go see. And so we'll be right back after the break.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Donald Trump could be looking at his second federal indictment. The former president revealed he received a letter telling him he is a target in the special counsel investigation into the Capitol riot. The target letter suggests Trump may soon face an indictment. A powerful heat dome is expanding across the southern U.S. Tens of millions of Americans across several states are under heat advisories, including California, Nevada, and Arizona. Dr. Kara Guerin, an ER doctor in Phoenix, says heat stroke is prevalent in this weather.
We see it every summer. It just seems to be much worse this summer.
Forecasters say record-breaking heat is expected through the middle of the week. Home builder sentiment is rising for the seventh straight month. The National Association of Home Builders Wells Fargo Housing Market Index rose 1 point to 56 in July, Builders remain concerned about higher mortgage rates, but they say that the lack of existing homes for sale is helping to drive demand for new construction. John Schaefer, USA News.
This is how we do every day.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
All right, folks, we are back at Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. Chuck's going to be here in the next segment, and this one I wanted to go through. Some conversation about capitalism in this new study from the Rand Corporation that I've seen. One of our favorites, Robert Reich III, out there talking about and how $50 trillion has been stolen from the working class people by the people in the top 10%, 5%, 1%, whichever one it is that they want the villain to be today. So I want to go through that study and then at the end of this, before the end of this segment, we'll talk with Steve Forbes about what he's doing to increase people's knowledge about the glory that is the free market and capitalism. So the first thing I want to do is talk about this study. And unfortunately, now I saw Robert Reich post something from it. And then I also saw Edward Snowden post something from it. Now that... okay, it's a little bit disappointing for people who can be so logical and so principled to also think things that are so dumb and not nuanced whatsoever and not look any further into what could be actually causing this data to look the way that it looks. Now, I'm first off not going to argue that people in the top 1% have made more money on a percentage basis than they did in the past. Okay, let's just get it out there in the open that that's what's happening, and it is happening. The way that they characterize this, though, is nothing short of ridiculous. And we'll be talking about Time Magazine and their article on this, and a little bit from the study. Why does this matter? It matters because this shapes the way people think about the top 1%, and I'm not here to protect the top 1%. I'm here to protect the rights of all people, even if you're very successful. I'm here to protect the property rights of all individuals, even and especially if you are very successful. And so the fact that you made more money or that you owned a company and that the price of it skyrocketed, great. I hope you provided value for society. And in fact, in a free market, that is how you get rich. You get rich because you provided value to society. Otherwise, people would not have turned over their money to you for whatever product you were selling. Or, in a lot of cases, these rich people, they turned over their money as an investment vehicle so they could make more money on their retirements. And you essentially were holding that money for them, represented in the value of your company because people were investing in it, which changed your net worth because people were giving you money so you could keep pushing your company. And in change, in return, you gave them return on their investment. That's a good thing. That's how a lot of these people are very rich. And so let's go into this study. Once again, Edward Snowden says, our political system has calcified into a robbery contest. You got to read the study. All right, and we're going to go through a little bit of this article, and then we'll go through some of the study as well. The top 1% of Americans have taken $50 trillion from the bottom 90%, and that has made the U.S. less secure. I want to tie all these things together, probably hurting our democracy. A staggering $50 trillion, that's how much the upward redistribution of income has cost American workers over the past several decades. So they're already classifying this as upward redistribution, meaning you made the money and it was taken from you and it was given to the people at the top. Because I think that's the only way these people see the world. They don't see it as people earn money, they make money. They see it as there is money and then it is just distributed by some form of power structure. But income, as Thomas Sowell would say, is not distributed, it is earned. Some income is distributed because the government takes it from you with a gun and then gives it to other people. That's distributed income. Now, what people earn at their jobs, that's what people get paid for production. All right, and there are more ways other than the government gun to change that. Going back to the article here, this is not some back-of-the-napkin approximation. According to the groundbreaking new working paper by Carter Price and Catherine Edwards of the RAND Corporation, had the more equitable income distributions of the three decades following World War II held steady, the annual income of Americans earning below the 90th percentile would have been $2.5 trillion higher in the year 2018 alone. That is an amount equal to nearly 12% of GDP, enough to more than double median income, enough to pay every single working American in the bottom nine deciles an additional $1,144 per month, every month, every single year. How did they come to these calculations? It doesn't matter. Let's talk more about it. Price and Edwards calculate that the cumulative tab over the four-decade-long experiment in radical inequality had grown to over $47 trillion from 1975 to 2018. At a recent pace of $2.5 trillion per year, the number we estimate crossed the $50 trillion mark by early 2020. That's $50 trillion that could have gone into the paychecks of working Americans had inequality held constant. $50 trillion that would have built a far larger and more prosperous economy. $50 trillion that would have enabled the vast majority of Americans to enter this pandemic far more healthy, resilient, and financially secure. The problem is, most of this is made up. Because they do describe how they get the numbers. And it's kind of shady. And they're just making a lot of stuff up. Right? It's not a back of a napkin approximation. That's true. That's what they said. But the means of going about finding these numbers still not good. Now, I get it. A lot of people have some hatred and anger towards people at the top. I understand that. Well, I don't understand how you feel that way. I understand that you feel that way. And I'm sorry you feel that way. We try to fight against that on this show. I never hold the fact that people have more money or that they're making more money against them ever. It is not inherently a bad thing, and they are innocent until proven guilty. They probably acquired that money in a just manner, unless I know that they did not. But there are a lot of people who, just because people are making more money than they are upset. In fact, that's pretty common for human beings, and it has been for a long time. That's how we got stuff that happened in the early 1900s and a lot of other things throughout entire human history. As the RAND report demonstrates, a rising tide most definitely did not lift all boats. It didn't even lift most of them, as nearly all of the benefits of growth these past 45 years were captured by those at the very top. Here's one mistake that they make that is a very common mistake that people make. The benefits of the growth these past 45 years were captured by those at the top. The way that they phrase that, it sounds like those at the very top have been the same group of people over the last 45 years. But that is not the case. Over the last 45 years, the people that are at the top, in the top 1% or whatever the percent is that people are upset at right now, change. They change constantly. They change daily. In fact, a lot of the people died over 45 years, right? So what we're changing right now is we're going from talking about human beings, what happens when you are young and you move about through life and maybe you get an education in something specific, maybe you don't. And what happens as you get older, what happens with your income as you get older, typically you make more money. We'll talk more about that later. And instead, we're just talking about the group itself, the quintile or the quartile or the decile, the 25%, the 50%, the 75%, all of those, whichever one it is. And so we start talking about people in groups, but people aren't groups. People are in groups and they move through those groups and they remain people. And those groups also remain the same, but they have different people in them and they have different amounts of people in them, determined by the amount of money those people are making. That's also very important for this conversation. Imagine how much safer, healthier, and empowered all American workers might be if that $50 trillion had been paid out in wages instead of being funneled into corporate profits and the offshore accounts of the super rich. Imagine how much richer and more resilient the American people would be. Imagine how many more lives would have been saved had our people been more resilient. First off, you can't assume that everything's going to cost the same. If for some reason all of that money would have gone to the people on the bottom, what do people at the bottom who don't own businesses do with their money? They give it to people who own businesses. But I don't know about you, but I don't make a darn thing at my house. But there are a lot of other people who make things. And basically all the money that I make that I don't save goes to other people who own businesses. And a lot of those people happen to be at the top. Okay, I'm not making an argument against people being paid more money. I'm not saying that it's pointless. It needs to be commensurate with the value of their work in society. So we don't just have rapid inflation like what we've had over the last couple of years. But I'm not against that. But you can't just assume that they just have more money and they'd be able to buy all of these things that we have right now, and all the things we have right now would cost the same. That's one assumption that they're making in the study. I'm going to go through. Now, the RAND report brings the inequality price tag directly home by denominating it in dollars. Not just the aggregate $50 trillion figure, but they go to demographic detail. For example, are you a typical black man earning $35,000 a year? Well, you're being paid $26,000 a year less than you would have had income distributions held constant. Now imagine the type of hatred and anger and resentment this type of thing can bring someone to. We already know what telling people we live in a racist society and everything that's ever happened bad in your life is because of racism. Well, now we're also saying, are you a black man, a typical black man? Are you a basic black man and you earn $35,000 a year? Well, because of these people stealing money from you, you would actually be making $61,000 a year right now. And magically, by the way, all the products would cost the same and you would just have all of that extra money. That's essentially what they're telling people. Are you a college educated, prime age, full-time worker earning $72,000? Depending on inflation, this inequality is costing you anywhere from $50,000 to $63,000 per year. That's it. You're making 72 and you could be making $50,000 more than that, but because of inequality that rapidly developed for some reason starting in the year 1971, we'll talk about that later on, because of this inequality, you're now getting paid less money. This is designed for one purpose only, to get everyone mad at a very, very small group of people. They can all team up, and they're all mad at this group of people. What are they going to do about it, though? They can't do anything about it. You know what they're going to do? They're going to get the government to do something about it. You know what the government's going to do about it? They're either going to succeed and destroy the world's economy, or they're going to fail and get really rich on their own still instead. So we either have to hope that they succeed in equitizing our income distribution, which would destroy everything. I don't know. You know, I haven't been to Venezuela in a little while. I think we should go check it out, see how things are going. You know, we should go check that out. So they could succeed in their quest, or they could fail in that quest, but they succeed in their other, which is to just make a bunch of money for themselves, selling you a false promise, which is what they're going to do. Let's go through some of these actual numbers. If you were a white woman, screw them. Let's talk about white men in 1975. Here's your earnings, 38K. In 2018, it's 44, and they're taking the price consumption expenditure that, let's just say they're taking inflation into account. It goes from 38 to 44, and they're telling you that you'd be making 83 instead of 44 if not for all of this inequality. The problem is, like all studies, there are limitations. Here's another good graph. Once again, you can find this. You can go to Good Morning Liberty's YouTube, search Good Morning Liberty on there. You can go to BernieLies.com, and you'll find our podcast, or you can find our YouTube or TikTok or whatever, and you can watch this video once I get it uploaded. In 1975, the top 1% had 9% share of income, and now they have 22% share of the income. And the bottom 90% had 67%, and now they have 50. And one question, you should always ask, I'm not saying it's the case, but you should ask, what if the top 1% earned more of the share of the income from 1975 to 2018? Why should it stay the same? Wouldn't this change? And in fact, after you have a welfare state that pays people to not work, wouldn't this be the case anyway, that you would get a lower share of the national income distribution would go to people in the bottom 90%, at least in the bottom 50, or at least in the bottom 20, a much lower share? But that's not even the reasoning that I'm going to tell you about, because there's much, much easier explanations for this. First off, some limitations on this study. Why is this important, by the way? We're going to talk about why it's important. This hatred for people who have more than you, seriously, has led to the worst things that have happened in human history. It's all been built out of envy. And the people in the government that were doing it, sure, they wanted power. They wanted authority. They were authoritarians. But how did they get the people to go along with it? They were able to get the people to go along with it because the people were envious of their neighbors for having more than them. We've heard the stories, okay? And this is a very dangerous ideology. It's not a moral ideology either, all right? Here's some limitations. Income from capital gains is only captured for the tax units that are above the 90th percentile taxable income, meaning when we just looked at that chart that showed the bottom 90% and their share shrinking, it is important to note that they only considered capital gains income for people that are above the 90%. And for anyone below, in the bottom 90%, no capital gains. Now that's interesting. In what ways do people have capital gains? I don't know. It could be from selling houses. Maybe they're doing a little bit of side trading. Maybe some little retirement incomes that they have. Doesn't matter. We're not going to count any of it. Now, it would account for a small portion of people's incomes. Of course, if you're making lower incomes, you've got less money to invest, and you're going to have a lot lower ability to make capital gains.
I get it. But they're just not going to count it? And they're still going to count it for the other part? Why don't we just not count it for either one of them? Why only count it for the top 90% and not for the bottom? They say it'd be tough to get it for all the rest of them. Okay, well, then don't count it for the top either. If we're going to talk about income distribution, why count some income for some people and not the same income for others? Because they're trying to push a narrative. That's why. Also, they use per capita GDP as the counterfactual rate. Now, what does that mean? They look at our GDP. They look at the amount of people. They say, here's what per capita GDP has gone up. What has the income distribution, the percentage? What is the income of the 25th, the 50th, the 75th? What has that gone up as it relates to per capita GDP and how that's gone up? Okay. That's how they essentially came up with this number. However, taxable income does not account for the growth in health insurance benefit costs and other non-monetary compensations that are portions of GDP. So let's consider that for a minute. When your company that you work for provides you with any benefits outside of the money that they pay you, could be 401k contributions, could be health insurance. Now, to say non-monetary, don't quote me on the 401k part. Let's stick on the health insurance benefit costs. That costs them money to provide that to you. My wife gets her statement from the company she works for of how much money they actually spend on her. And it's about 50% more than what she actually gets paid is what she costs them every year. That's not counted in the income for my wife as she is inside of these charts and graphs that we're looking at, but it is counted in the GDP. Consider that fact for a moment, that they keep it in the GDP number, and that raises the GDP number, but any of that extra compensation does not show up for the people that are receiving it. They just divide it out among people and act like those people aren't getting paid any more than the number figures that they're putting out there. The study's already dead to me right now, but there's even more. Just wait. There's more. Don't worry. On top of that, what do we know about as people? Well, let's first talk about this. What about full-time and part-time labor? Part-time labor grew by 154%. The amount of people that were doing part-time labor, meaning the people in these groups, in these lower income quartiles, we'll call them right now, the lower income quartiles, could be working part-time. The full-time labor grew by 100%, part-time grew by 154% over that time. So a lot of those people in the lower quintiles are people that could be working part-time. And yes, they're making less money, which would show up in a quintile as a lower income for that quintile. And in full time, those people make more money. That number actually grew by less, the amount of people working full time, and those are going to show up in the higher quintiles. And then on top of that, what do we know about as you get older? As you get older, typically you tend to make more money. Most people, as you get older, you tend to make more money, which is why it's bad to look at people in groups. And it is better to look at people as individuals. Over this period of time, from 1975 to 2018, the number of people with earnings 20 to 24, this is the age range, grew by 13%. The number of people grew by 13% in that 20 to 24 age range. 55 to 64 grew by 111%, and 65 and over grew by 143%. What do we know about people that are 65 and older? They could be retired. They could have used some capital gains. They could be making more money, especially 55 to 64. If you haven't retired yet, you're more than likely making more money than other people that are younger than you, because that tends to be how salaries work over time. They go up and up, and so does your age at the same time. Those people grew by well over, there's well over 100% more in the population that are older. Only 13% more 20 to 24, but those are the people who make the least amount of money. Meaning, the people who make the most amount of money, the amount of them grew, so the amount of money in that group grew. So if you don't account for the amount of people in that group, and you just look at the share of the national income or GDP that is going to that group, and then you don't account for the fact that the amount of older people doubled while the amount of younger people essentially stayed the same, meaning that's how many stayed in the lower income groups, more than likely, then that completely skews your income statistics immediately. You add more people in the higher up groups that are making more money because the population gets older and older. Did they know this when they did this? I think they did. I really think they did. Okay. Why do they do this? Maybe they themselves are upset. Maybe they are envious. Maybe they truly believe it. Or maybe they think that maybe they think that people at the top are evil. Maybe they think Jeff Bezos is evil. Maybe they think your grandparents are evil because they make more money, even though they're 65 years old and they make more money. Or your parents are evil because they're 65 years old and they make more money than people that are 24 years old. Does that make you evil? Does it make you evil to be 65 years old and make more money than someone who's 25 years old? No, it doesn't. Is it wrong that someone who is 65 is now earning more money than someone that is 25? No, it is not. This study essentially tells you that. That is all it tells you. All right. I didn't get to the Steve Forbes interview. We're going to have him on after the break. We'll be right back.
Remember what you were doing 4 years ago at this very moment and how much everything changed a year later. We don't live just anywhere. We live on a crowded island with daily news headlines that make our ancestors spin in their graves. And we all know that tougher days lie ahead. So the real question is, do you have a proper supply of emergency food on hand? If not, now's the time to get some, while things are still relatively calm. The company most Americans choose is My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com to get yourself a 1 week supply of emergency food. It comes in a nifty ammo can that's loaded with delicious meals you'll love. No skimping with these meals, as you'll get 2,000 calories per day. You'll like the special $30 savings available this week only on this 1 week supply of emergency food, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Chihibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.